You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Eusebius is on Twitter at Eusebius.
Indeed, he's also joining me now on the line is a retired ANC MP, Professor Ben Turok. Haven't spoken to Professor Turok in ages, and I'm very grateful that he's joining us on the show for a couple of minutes. Professor Turok, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Professor Turok, next week, of course, we will have a motion of no confidence being debated and voted on. The ANC has already, as a party, said that it will vote against it. But it seems to me that raises an awkward moral political question. Should an ANC backbencher respect a strict whip, or should they vote with their conscience? What say you?
You know, I think you people are raising a red herring. We've been down this road quite a few times, and in every case, the caucus of the ANC meets and discusses and takes a decision, and all members are bound by that decision. If you do not follow that decision, you will lose your job. It's as simple as that. So why is there so much speculation about whether people are going to break ranks and so on? Really, I think the media are a bit irresponsible. The system doesn't work like that. We have a party political system, and the parties insist on discipline. And in the ANC, whether you like it or not, when the caucus takes a decision, you follow that decision. Now, I know many people would like to vote against. I know that within the ANC, there are many whose conscience is bothering them a great deal and would love to vote against Zuma. But they can't, and they will not. So why raise hopes which are unrealistic?
Well, with all due respect, Professor Turok, that is a little bit too quick. You have a constitutional right and you have a moral compass that you can follow. Not every single ANC MP doesn't have the skill to have an alternative career as a lawyer in corporate and elsewhere in society. You make it sound as if it's a zero-sum game for an ANC backbencher.
Well, the reality is that's how it is. And it's quite true that there are some lawyers and some people with professions. I myself left because I had an alternative profession, and I'm very happy not to be in Parliament. But the reality is that, you know, Julius Malema says he's been talking to ANC MPs, and they are interested in what the EFF is saying. You know, the reality is that he's said this so many times and it's not worked. No single ANC MP has voted for the EFF.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what would change that. And I know this will sound very mercenary. But if the EFF doubles its votes in the national elections, they will have 20 seats to offer. And they can then go to the ANC and say, we give you an alternative. Now, you know, in many countries, people leave one party and they join another party and pursue, continue their professional political life. In South Africa, you can't do that because there's no space. And it seems to me that my expectations have changed. Or outside Parliament, not inside Parliament.
Mm.
We now have, for instance, take the stalwarts. I'm a member of the stalwarts, and the stalwarts were very cautious when it was founded and began a whole series of negotiations with the top six and the National Working Committee around a national consultative conference. These discussions went on and on. There were numerous such engagements. And then the stalwarts discovered, as I anticipated, that people like Jesse Duarte were determined not to have a consultative conference. and therefore we're swinging them along. And you know what position of the stalwart is now? The stalwart says Zuma must go. So from negotiating for a meeting within the general ambit of the ANC, the stalwarts are now saying Zuma must go.
We're in conversation with Professor Ben Turok, former ANC MP. Professor Turok, how do we deal, however, with the limitation of processes outside Parliament? On Friday, for example, tens of thousands of people made their political views about the president known. But of course, how that is responded to by the party is something that you do not, as active citizens and as civil society, have control over. So the processes outside Parliament are also hamstrung by the system.
Yes, of course. And those are the limitations, indeed, of civil society activity. But, you know, around the world, we've had occasion in so many countries where slowly there's a build-up of civil society opposition, where that opposition begins to gain force. You know, in South Africa today, it's quite remarkable. If you had a referendum, you would find a huge majority, a huge number of people, maybe not a majority, a huge number of people would say Zuma must go. This is now the national cry. And, you know, by the way, these people who marched are voters. They're going to vote. Make no mistake. So the ANC is actually very perturbed. Don't forget, they've lost three metros. An election is coming up in a year or two. They're in danger of losing national power. So, you know, On the face of it, government looks very strong. On the face of it, they're in charge. But underneath that, there's a sort of underbelly of discontent, of unhappiness, even stronger than that. And people are beginning to feel very strongly indeed, as I do, that the time has come for the president to leave. And it's no longer a matter of a gentle push and so on. It is really a national demand. And I bet you that at any kind of referendum, the number of people, the proportion of people who will say the president must leave is growing by the week. And he knows it. And what's more is that his every action he takes to defend himself makes it worse, because we know he's got all these charges facing him. We know that what he's done with Pravin Gordhan to the economy is catastrophic. You know, one or two ministers have made some silly remarks about we don't care about the currency, about the ratings. You know, today's paper gives you the views of the ANC's Economics Committee. And they're the hard facts. This is a major blow to our economy. And you can't tell me that a large portion of South Africans are now saying, this has gone too far, the president must go, and we need change. So, you know, the government always looks strong. After all, government has the police, they have the army, they have this, they have that, they have the union buildings, they put on a big show, they have a huge motorcade. I mean, Zuma has the largest motorcade of any president in Africa, and he has the largest car. And when he drives in Cape Town and I'm going into town and I see that, I boil. This is not democracy. This is really militarization of our country. And we're angry. We're very angry.
Professor Turok, if the ANC is, in your wording, perturbed, why has it not recalled him yet? Surely the case for recalling him is at least as strong as it would have been for Thabo Mbeki at the point at which he was recalled.
It's much stronger. The case against him is much stronger because he's got criminal proceedings waiting. You know, Mbeki was not a criminal. But Zuma has so many cases waiting in the courts. And the Constitutional Court has found against him. Oh, the case is much stronger. But you see, what he has done over the last few years, by using deployment, he has put people into positions in the security services, in the public service, all over the place, in the ANC itself, cronies who support him. And he has built up an edifice which is quite strong in the party, in the provinces and so on. And it is a strong edifice which supports him through thick and thin. And that has got to be changed. It's got to be overthrown. And, you know, given the present momentum, it will be. I'm confident it will be. There will come a time when enough people in the country will march in the streets, will speak out. Business will speak out. They have to. The time has come for business to speak. And, you know, I mean, we've seen this all over the world, that a momentum builds up, which is anti-state or anti-president. And it takes time because the official powers are very strong. But it takes time. And after all, they've got all sorts of resources, the radio, this, that, and the other. And, you know, TV, and they've got lots of resources.
I just want to ask you one final question, Professor Duroc. It's interesting to me. I mean, you're talking about that groundswell and the national sentiment and how that will force the hand of the party probably eventually. But I want to ask you this in closing. Given that the case against him, in your opinion, and many of us share that view, is stronger than the case was for recalling former President Thabo Mbeki, and the ANC has in fact not yet recalled President Mbeki, isn't that an indication that although him leaving is a necessary condition for organizational renewal, it is not sufficient because clearly the rot must be running deep if the party is still dithering?
It is. It is running deep. And when you see the top six and the way they respond to the stalwarts and other issues, you can see that they are very, 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 they've been bought, basically. I don't mean commercially. But yes, it is deep. And in the provinces, you've got premiers who are now very loyal, loyal beyond belief to a man whose record is so bad. Yes, he has strengthened his powers over the last few years very much within the ANC and within the state. And so that's why the ANC is in very serious trouble, because people know this, and voting is coming. And people are going to vote against. And they, you know, I'll tell you this, every person who marched is going to vote against. And not only vote against, but organize against. So you're going to have a changed environment. And the ANC is so vulnerable even now to voting that with this extra momentum, who knows what can happen? This government can fall. So there's no room for complacency. We must not be misled by the power of the state, not be misled by Zuma's confidence. He is in trouble, and I'm afraid the ANC is in trouble.
Professor Duroc, thank you as always for your incisive analysis.